Sometimes for no apparent reason one's body is attacked by cruel people or violent animals. At other times and in other places one will suddenly be offered great respect for worship. One who becomes neither angry when attacked nor satisfied when worship is actually intelligent. Purport, if one does not become angry when attacked for no apparent reason, and if one does not become enlivened when glorified or worshipped, then one has passed the test of self-realization and is considered fixed in spiritual intelligence. Uddhava asks Lord Krishna, Kaya va gayeta lakshanai, by what symptoms can a self-realized person be recognized? Just as Lord Krishna enlightened Arjuna, he now explains the same subject matter to Uddhava. In this verse, the Lord describes symptoms by which it is very easy to recognize a saintly person. For a normal person becomes furious when criticized or attacked and overwhelmed with joy when glorified by others. There is a similar statement by Jagyavalkya to the effect that one who is actually intelligent does not become angry, though pricked with thorns, and does not become satisfied at heart merely by being worshipped with auspicious paraphernalia such as sandalwood. Om Ajana Timirandasya Gananjana Sadhakraya Chakshurum Siddhitam Jena Tasmahe Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Prabhishtam Stavitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupadaga Mahiram Tatanahiswapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vajjalam Pankum Nam Jayate Kirim Yakripa Kamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam.
You know, it's
proper to put the garment on the speaker. He shouldn't have to do it himself.
Well, I'm not worthy of it, but still,
the proper thing is to give the garland to the speaker. Otherwise it's sort of like, here you go, put it on yourself. Thank you. I mean, not for me, but just for everybody who happens to be here, or everybody who happens to sit on the seat. So, yasyat mahinshate hinsrayer. It happens sometimes that one is attacked. Hinsray. Hinsyate. Hinsya. Hinsa. We have the word hinsa. Ahimsa. No. Not being violent to others. That's a symptom of a devotee, of a saintly person. So here it's described, hinsyate hinsrahe, means simple people or violent people. But sometimes it happens that one is attacked. And on the opposite hand, sometimes one is glorified. I don't know if you've noticed, sometimes you walk down the street and people just scowl at you. And sometimes you walk down the street and they're all smiling at you. What's going on here? Yesterday they were scowling at me. Today they're all smiling at me. What's happening? This is the nature of material existence. One day everything is good, the next day everything is bad. Or it's a mixture. More often it's a mixture. And of course this is just the nature of material existence. Matra sparshastu kunteya siddhosna sukudukadaha agamapayana nichastang stiktitsva varata. And one has to tolerate the comings and the goings of material existence. That's just its nature. And a person who understands that it's just the material energy working, the mixing of the modes of material nature. And realizes that the self, the soul, the spirit soul, is not bewildered by the changes. Dhiras tatra namuyati. Krishna says, dhiras tatra namuyati. One's not bewildered by that. Changes. One who's embodied. Deha. Dehina. One who has a body will have to experience the changes of material existence. Happiness and distress, hot and cold, pleasure and pain. Fame and infamy, which is what's being described here. Fame and infamy. And these things come about in the normal course of affairs. And the test is this point. Dhiras tatra namuyati, one who is sober and can tolerate the changes instead of becoming miserable when one is attacked. Or upset. Not the nature of a devotee to get upset, because the nature of the soul is to be equipoised, situated in a proper understanding of our self, our original spiritual identity. One is not disturbed, because the nature of the soul is satchit ananda, which means aware of one's eternality, one's presence is eternal. And chit means understanding things as they are. And of course that means understanding the permanence of the soul and the impermanence of material existence. And the material existence is simply a reaction of one's karmas, one's past deeds give rise to the good and the bad that takes place. And the natural condition of the soul, the natural status of our existence, is to be ananda, to be blissful, free from the miseries of material existence. So especially for the devotees, they're not perturbed when there's some suffering, and they're not elated when there's some pleasure. Prabhupada and here it says that this is a symptom of intelligence. Tatra navyapti kriyate buddha. One who is not disturbed, basically. One who is not vyapti kriyate means transformed or affected. Na vyapti kriyate buddha. One who is not affected by the changes, the comings and goings, and this requires practice, right? Because and sometimes we're tested by very difficult circumstances. In this regard, Prabhupada, and especially for the devotees, you know, because when we become a missionary, if you like, if we become an agent for Krishna, then automatically that puts you in a situation where you will be tested. There will be trials. And Prabhupada will give the example of Haridas Thakur, Prahlad Maharaj, Jesus Christ. Right? As examples, you know, all very, very saintly persons. You know, we like the idea of saintly persons being respected by everybody. Maharaj, Swamiji, when I go to India, people often call him Swamiji. Oh, good. They recognize my saintly character. So we don't mind that bit. But, you know, there are persons, those who are asuric, who don't like saintly people. And so immediately they become enemies. You would think that, oh, now he's a saintly person, then everybody should be respectful. But the very opposite can happen. You become a saintly person. We'll try to be a saintly person, we may not be so saintly, but at least we're trying to be saintly. And then all of a sudden we find we've got obstacles. People don't like us. We acquire enemies that we wouldn't even have considered previously. Not so that we wouldn't have enemies. But you would think that the saintly person wouldn't have any enemies. In fact, for the saintly person, he doesn't have any enemies, actually. He doesn't see anybody as an enemy. But if there's some difficulty, what he sees is, actually, this is the remnants of my past misdeeds. For the devotees, Prabhupada will quote the verse, Taktenu kampam susamichyamano. Is it? Bunjana evatma. Kritam vipakam. Is it proper? I'll quote this verse a lot. Kritvav vakubhir vidadhan namaste jivete yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. That The devotee actually sees the suffering as Krishna's mercy. In the purport, Prabhupada says that Sridharmaharaj says that for a devotee who follows the process of devotional service, the liberation is his inheritance. It's his rightful claim. So anybody who follows the process of devotional service, then they'll be liberated. What's the verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna assures this for the devotee? Pretty famous verse. That's one of them, wasn't one I was thinking of. Sarvadharmam pidichaja mamekam saranam vaja aham tvam sarvapapevyo moksha yesyami ma suchaha. Krishna says, sarvapapevyo, right? All simple reactions, moksha yesyami ma suchaha. I will liberate you from all simple reactions, do not fear. Right? So you would think, okay, if one surrenders to Krishna, I'm surrendering to Krishna, then how come I'm not free from my sinful reactions? And how come, well, great personalities like Prahlad Maharaj or Haridas Thakur or even Jesus Christ, how come they're suffering so? I said, for liberated souls, there's no reactions for them. Actually, for a liberated personality, there is no reaction. And so, they're engaged in serving Krishna, whatever. And in the case of the aspiring transcendentalist, then Prabhupada mentions that whilst Krishna has the capacity to free one from all of one's simple reactions, still within the heart of the devotee there resides an inclination towards activities or engagement in sense gratification as a result of one's past karma. There's still the shadow of those past misdeeds present within the heart. So the devotee who follows the process of devotional service is guaranteed liberation. That Krishna promises. But still, as a result of the fact that within the heart there still resides some inclination due to past association. This is the meaning of conditioned soul. And so therefore, due to that residual desire, then Krishna arranges it so that the reactions that one gets are a token of the karma that one would ordinarily receive, the bad reactions that one would ordinarily receive, and that suffering for the devotee is the means by which that last remnant, those last attachments are purified. And so therefore the devotee accepts the difficulties as Krishna's mercy. And so even though there are difficulties, and even conversely, when there's some success or some happiness that comes as a result of the performance of devotional service, one will also be happy. In that one may be prosperous, one may make money, or one may become, as it mentions here, one day you may be despised and people will attack you, on another occasion people will worship you, Jai Maharaj. No? But the devotee sees that as this is the burning off of my past misdeeds, it's also the burning up of my past good karma as well. So he's not bewildered. As far as the material world goes, these things will ultimately be destroyed. Everything in the material world is destroyed. Nasate vijate bhavo na bhavo vijate sata. That which is impermanent. And so therefore there's that detachment. Ultimately everything will be destroyed. So this is how one of the tests, if you like, of a devotee, how whether they're equipoised, attached, in other words. If there's some difficulty, one offers one's obeisances. Prithvag vaku bhir vididham namaste. With his heart, with his words, and with his body. So with his heart he offers respects to Krishna, with his words he offers his obeisances. With his body he bows down before the Lord. And whatever difficulty comes, he accepts it as Krishna's mercy. This is for my purification. This is just a token reaction of what I should be getting. And if he gets something positive, something good, then he also offers his respects and obeisances to Krishna. Thank you, Krishna, for providing me whatever facilities I have. But in any case, in either case, he's dhira-statra namuyate, he's sober and equipoised. One of the reasons why one has to study the shastra, to understand the qualities of a devotee. In the Bhagavad Gita you find that this point of equanimity, if you like, It's also a symptom of the mode of goodness. It's a symptom of knowledge, right? Samo dhammastapaso jam. It's a brahminical qualification. It's a symptom of transcendence as well. The symptom of a devotee is this equanimity, sama. When it's equipoised, when there's some difficulty, when it's equipoised, when there's some success. Because he understands that actually that the results are ultimately being provided by Krishna. I am not the cause of these results. The results are being provided by the Lord through his agency, the material energy. So this is a test. How sober is a person in the face of difficulties, and how sober is a person in success. As is mentioned here in the purport, the opposite of, you know, a normal person, if they have some difficulty, then they want to have a fight, become angry and disturbed. And if they get some, if they're successful, they become elated. The classic example is the football. You know, kicks a point, you know, bangs his head, swears, kicks a goal. I did it. Karataham iti manyate. What is it? Mudhatma ahankara kartaham miti manyate. The vimudha, or the big fool, thinks I'm the doer. This is the big fool. And he thinks that I'm the doer. Whereas the dhira, or the sober person, the learned person, understands I'm not the doer. I'm the desirer. And as a result of my desires, then things happen. They're facilitated by Krishna. So in that sense, we're the doer. In one sense, yes, the living entity is the karta, the doer. Because of he's the initiator of action, if you like. But actually, the results are provided by Krishna through the super soul. He's the super soul situated within the heart of everybody. Savasya chaham viti sannivisto matasmiti jnanam abhavanam cha. What is it? Ishvaraha sabhabhutanam vritesha arjuna tishtati brahmayam sabhabhutanam yamchavi rudhani mayaya. This is the vision of a transcendentalist. Ishvara sabhabhutanam vritesha arjuna tishtati. The Ishvara, or the controller, who's directing the wanderings of all the living entities, is the Paramatma, or the super soul that sits in everybody's heart. He's the one who's awarding the good and the bad. It looks like we're doing, but actually we're not. We're desiring. In that sense, we can understand that the spirit soul is the doer. He's described as the doer. Also in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there are five factors that influence action. One of them is the soul. But by desire. And of course the desire of the devotee is to do service, to render service. Not to create further action and reaction, but rather to render service. That's the mood of a devotee. Whereas a non-devotee will be looking for pleasure and trying to avoid the pain and becoming disturbed. Whereas a devotee trains themselves to look out for Krishna's pleasure. He knows that automatically I will enjoy or suffer whatever Krishna wants. I will depend on Krishna. And, you know, that the comings and goings into existence really are ephemeral. That it's like the tide. You know, it'll come in, it'll go out. And, you know, every time the tide comes in, it covers up the shore, then it goes out again, then something new is exposed. Then it comes back in again, covers it all up, then it goes out, then there'll be some more new things exposed. So that's really, as time progresses, then we'll see. One day we'll be happy, one day we'll be distressed. One day we won't know what's going on. We can't work out. Next day we think, yeah, now I've got it all under control, I know what's happening. One has to be tolerant of those changes. That's a measure of a transcendentalist. And I'll read the next verse, because it doesn't have a purport, but it's... Nastu vita, nanindeta. Nastu vita, nanindeta. He doesn't glorify anybody, neither does he criticize anyone. Right? Nastu vita. He doesn't offer prayers and praise of somebody, oh, Maharaj, you're so wonderful. How are you? Kurvata sadhu asadhuva. Kurvata sadhu asadhuva. Vadato guno doshabhyam vajita samajin muni. A saint is saved, sees with equal vision and therefore is not affected by that which is materially good or bad. Indeed, although he observes others performing good and bad work and speaking properly and improperly, the sage does not praise or criticize anyone. Hmm. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Text 17, can I repeat? No purport, 16. Well, that's it's an interesting verse. Kanapati.
You mentioned those five factors that include action.
Yeah.
So, both one and what's the other four?
The other four. The body, the senses, the body and the senses, or the body is made up of senses. Most bodies have got senses, hopefully. Incomplete if they don't have one. There's the endeavour that you put into something, right? There's the soul, there's the body, there's the endeavour. Now,
is one the place of action? Is one the place of action?
Yes, possibly, but I don't think that's what it is. I'm trying to remember what the fourth one is. Fifth one is the super soul. Krishna. Let's look it up. What is the question? The question is what are the five factors of action? That are described in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. We'll have a look.
What about the mind?
The mind? Not sure. Let's see. I'm not going to speculate because I don't know. The place of action, the body. Well, okay, well, yeah, the body. The performer, that's the living entity. The various senses, the many different kinds of endeavour, and ultimately the super soul. I said the body and the senses. So I got the two. I put them all together as one, because one sense of body and the senses are one. So the body you've got. You know, there's this theory, there's this philosophy that's going up that goes around. You know, you can do it if you really want. Right? All you have to do is desire. And then put the effort in and you'll do it, right? But you know, if you're an ant and you want to jump over the Rialto building, right? you can try and try and try as hard as you like. But if you've only got a little body and the building is that big, there's no way you're going to jump over the building. Of course, if Krishna empowered you, you could. With Krishna's mercy, you can do anything. But in the ordinary course of affairs, you know. But endeavour is important. That it's a fact. You know, you have to put the effort in. So the type of body that you've got, and the senses, I guess, because you know, you may have a body, but. And we see it, sometimes somebody gets a human form of life, they have a human form of life, but then their senses, their central capacity is not properly developed. Right? You know, you see sometimes with retarded people, they have a human form of life. But their central emotional development is arrested. So they're retarded, basically. Got the body, but they haven't got the central capacity. The emotional capacity or the intellectual capacity, so they're retarded. And of course, the soul has to be in the body, otherwise, you know, if the soul's not there, then nothing happens. It's usually got a dead body. And ultimately, the most important ingredient is the Paramatma, the Super Soul. Without Krishna sanctioning, then nothing can happen. Right? This is why we all, even though it's described how the living entities are the cause of material existence, ultimately material existence won't be manifest if Krishna doesn't allow it. That's his mercy, if you like. That's his kripa. His mercy is, even though we're foolish and really shouldn't want to exist, exercise our independence, we have that capacity, but because he gives us that capacity to be independent, then he facilitates that independence by creating the material world. Even though it's not our constitutional position, it's unnatural for us. And in fact, you know, the material world is designed, the material world is created in such a way so that we're totally and absolutely dependent upon Krishna for everything. But it's created in such a way so that it gives us the illusion that we're independent. We're totally dependent upon Krishna at any stage. And even though we're acting in a fashion which appears as if we're independent, actually we're still serving. We're servants. This is the nature of the soul, is to be a servant. Well, we are serving the mind and the senses and anything but Krishna in material existence. But we're dependent upon him. So he's the essential ingredient, and it's his mercy, it's his compassion that he allows us to exercise our independence in this way. But done in such a way that the material energy works as our teacher. And through the suffering and the enjoyment of material existence, and mainly the suffering, that's what the material world is really made up of. The happiness is simply the absence of suffering in reality. You know, there's the example of, you know, if we analyze the body and we work out how much pleasure we can actually get from the body, and then you work out how much pain you can actually experience, you know, the pleasure is gone, that's it, you just had it. But the pain, you know, if you get your thumb, you can stroke your thumb and, you know, make it feel good. But if you want to, you know, get a hammer out and whack, and whoa! The pain is, the potential for pain is much greater than the potential for pleasure. Right? This is the material world. Welcome to the material world. We think, yeah, we can have a great time. But Maya teaches us, bang, ooh, what was that? So that's actually Krishna's mercy, slow process. This is our education. Our educational process is a bit of a slow process. We're a bit slow.
Text 16 that the sages does not praise or criticize anyone.
Yes.
So how do they offer encouragement or pull someone up for something?
It says he is not affected by that which is materially good or bad. So, you know, if he sees somebody performing devotional service, then he'll encourage him. And, you know, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, one shouldn't disturb the minds of the ignorant, but one should engage them in acts of devotion. So he'll work in such a way so as to try to channel their energies, their actions, into positive devotional service, which is akarma. So there's good karma and there's vikarma. There's karma which is good, brings about a good reaction. then there's weak karma or bad karma. So the devotee illustrates the impermanence of material existence and encourages people to engage in acts of devotion, akarma. But, and of course, you know, devotees do, a saintly person will point out the defects of material existence to those who are inquisitive. But for those who are completely absorbed in their, you know, in their material pursuits, then he generally doesn't preach to them to, you know, and disturb them. So he doesn't criticise their good or their bad activities, because you understand they're just experiencing the reactions of their past deeds. So if somebody's doing something good, then he doesn't necessarily praise them. If they're doing something bad, he doesn't criticise them. Mm-hmm. Right? Especially for the very, very elevated, you know, the Uttama Adhikari Mahabhagavat. He sees everybody engaged in Krishna's service. He thinks himself not actually advanced. Very advanced devotee. So he's not seeing good and bad in others. This is on a very elevated platform. Madhyama Adhikari does see good and bad. Has to, in order to preach. Right? Discriminates. We have to discriminate. Asatsanga chagi Vaishnava chagi. This is the first qualification of that. Well, not the first qualification. The first qualification of a devotee is that he chants Hare Krishna. That's the first qualification. But then one has to develop some discrimination in order to advance one's devotional service, and so therefore one avoids the association of people who are attached to, you know, good and bad in material existence. So, as it mentions here, a saintly sage sees with equal vision. What's Vidya, Vinaya, Sampane, Brahmani, Gavi, Hastini, Sunichaiva, Svapake, Cha, Pandita, Samadarshanaha. So this is the vision of a pundit or a learned person is to see everybody equally. The soul is present, but each living entity is experiencing the results of their past karmas. Whether they're doing good or whether they're doing bad, that's what's happening. The sage does not praise or criticize anyone. He understands ultimately why. Yes, the Paramatma is sanctioning those activities. Right? Krishna's allowing that to happen. So when he's being criticized by somebody, he understands that's Krishna's arrangement. When he's being praised by somebody, and he says that's also Krishna's arrangement. Some difficulty that's been presented by the Lord. It's a token reaction for this, my past. And even the very elevated devotees who are free of any fault, actually, they still see in that same fashion. Even though it's not their reaction, they're, you know, the nitya siddha bhakta. Still sees also with that vision. Because he understands this is part of my, this is a result of my, this is just the nature of material existence. It comes and it goes. And it's part of my service to tolerate. Even though for them there are actually no reactions. So when Maharaj Pariksit was questioning Dharma in the form of the book, right? And he had all of his legs broken bar one, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. He was beaten by Kali, wasn't it? He had been beaten by Kali. And so when he was being questioned as to why, the Dharma in the form of a bull wouldn't say who was at fault, who was the cause. Because ultimately he knew that this was all taking place by the will of the Lord. And he didn't want to criticize, you know, he couldn't criticize the Lord. You know how the cycle of the ages progresses. And eventually Kali Yuga manifests. And Kali Yuga is Kali Abdolshanita Ivaratan. It's an ocean of faults. So why? Why Kali? Why Kali Yuga? Krishna's arrangement that these things happen. So we don't blame Krishna. Hey Krishna, how come we've got Kali Yuga? Why don't you just make it such a yuga for us? But the interesting thing is that in Kali Yuga, even though it's an ocean of faults, it has one mahaguna, right? Asti hiyuko mahaguna, right? Even though it's an ocean, it has one good redeeming quality. And of course that's also Krishna's arrangement. Mukta Sangha Paramvraja. Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramvraja. That by chanting the names of Krishna, one can get out. Actually achieve the highest realization in devotional service, simply by chanting Hare Krishna. So, it's interesting, you know, in the Kali Yuga you have the most degradation, but at the same time you also get the opportunity to get the highest realization if one's prepared to make the sacrifice, if you like. Jagyai Shankitan Prayaya Jati Hisu Meditaha. So those people who have a little bit of intelligence and understand the advantage of Kali, right? They chant Hare Krishna. So Maharaj Bridget was being was inquiring from Dharma in the form of a bull. You know, why are you being punished like this? And he didn't want to say. So he's saying it could be this, and it could be because of that, and it could be the other thing. But ultimately he knew that this was the arrangement of Krishna, and so he had to accept it. So, you know, he doesn't criticize anybody because he ultimately sees this is all happening by the arrangement of the Lord.
But you're saying equipoise. The equipoise. You should be equipoise.
Equipoise, yes.
Equipoise.
Sama.
Yeah. That is because if we have an unflinching faith in Krishna and total dependence in surrender.
We should do, yes.
Then yeah.
Yes. That's ideal.
And you think basically.
Yes. Even if it's one of our friends acting as Krishna's agent. That's hard to take. When the difficulties arise as a result of some difficulty we're experiencing and it's one of our friends who's doing it, apparently. Then we get upset. What are you doing to me? It's just Krishna, Prabhu. I'm the agent of your karma. Leave me alone. Give me a break. So that's, you know, that really is to see Krishna behind everything is very elevated. Not everybody's able to have that luxury of transcendental vision. And what do you do if somebody is actually doing something wrong?
Humility.
Be humble. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but still we may do something about it. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example. There's the story of Sakshi Gopal and the two brahmanas who were on pilgrimage, and the elderly brahmana gave his daughter's hand in marriage to the younger brahmana, and he protested. He said, no, this is, you know, you can't do it, because he was a very poor brahmana, and the elderly brahmana was wealthy and influential, you know. And he said, look, you can't do this. It's not. He said, no, you have served me so nicely. I'll give you my daughter. Because you're, you know, he understood, he recognized the good. He could recognize the good quality of that young man. So he realized, if he can look after me so nicely, then he's qualified to also look after my daughter. And you know, the father always wants to, he's always concerned about the well-being of his children, especially the daughter, so he wants to make sure that his daughter will be protected. But when they got back to the village, to their village, then when the sons of the elderly brahmana found out about the fact that he'd given their sister and betrothed her to the boy, they got really upset. And they created a story. You know, you were travelling, you fed our father, Datura, he was a little bit mad, and then so they created a dust storm, created confusion to stop it. Because he was of a lower status. And the young brahmana could have just said, yep, okay, Krishna's management, all right, I surrender. But he didn't. He wanted to maintain the principle of truthfulness. He wanted to maintain the religious principles of the elderly brahmana. So he said, no, he's given his word. And if one gives one's word in a holy place to a brahmana, then one should honour that promise. Otherwise it would be a great offence on the part of the elderly brahmana. So he wanted to protect the religiosity of the elderly brahmana. So he had enough forethought, and he realised that there would be problems, so he had made sure that the elderly brahmana made the promise before Sakshi, before the deity. So he said, there's a witness. They said, oh, yeah, who's the witness? They said, Gopal, there's a witness. They said, Gopal, yeah, sure. He said, I can bring a witness. They said, all right, well, bring a witness. They said, yeah, just a deity. He won't be able to, he won't come and bear witness to the fact. And to cut a long story short, but the young brahmana went to Vrindavan and spoke to Gopala and said, Gopala, you have to come and protect the religious principles of the elderly brahmana. And Gopala said, I can't do that. I'm a deity, I can't go all that way. And the young brahmana said, well, if you're talking to me, then you should be able to come. If you talk to me, then you should be able to come back to my village. He said, all right, I'll come. So the young brahmana could have, you know, just tolerated, said, it's Krishna's arrangement. But because of the religious principles involved, and he wanted to maintain the credibility of the, you know, the character of the elderly brahmana, then he made some arrangement. So sometimes if something is being done wrong, a devotee won't just say, oh yeah, Krishna's arrangement, I'll accept it. Because there's a religious principle involved that should be settled. Right? So sometimes the devotees aren't just, you know, roll over and play dead. They'll fight. Or they'll stand up for the correct principle of religiosity, of dharma. So in the association of devotees, if there's some difficulty or if there's some problem, doesn't mean necessarily that we'll just say, oh yeah, it's okay, she'll be right. I tolerate. If the religious principles are being transgressed, then a brahmana or a devotee will make sure that the principle is being upheld. Because ultimately that will be for the benefit of everybody. Whereas if it is slackened, then that'll be the detriment of everybody. So we're not always, you know, just totally tolerant of everything. Especially for a Madhyamadhikari, whose business it is to establish religious principles. The preacher, in other words. And that's why Prabhupada says, you know, the Uttama Adhikari comes down from the topmost platform of seeing everybody as faultless and everybody equal, comes down to the platform of seeing the difference between good and bad and, you know, devotees and non-devotees. He understands the importance of devotional service. That's good. Even if there's some difficulties, that's beneficial and avoids the, you know, the asatsanga, the bad association. So that's why, you know, the devotee will see and not criticize, but then on occasions we'll do something about some things. Because there's religious principles to be upheld. Congratulations, Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.